Hello, we are here in our series of New Life with Dr. Michael Lightman, with the days of Corona in two different studios. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. We are in program number 1219, and I wanted to talk to you about Corona, a little bit about money. Not just about money, but also the culture we live in. There are many people that during this time of the Corona, look at as the Corona comes to teach us a lesson that we've overdone it, that we exploited nature, that we were too greedy, we went overseas too much, we bought too much, all that mess that we did here. It's as if we crossed the boundary and nature's giving us a little signal from in the form of Corona. I want to ask you, not philosophically and not some nice old people. I want to ask you practically. I'm a person who likes to eat good. I'm a person who likes to have fun. I like going overseas. Now, I'm not stealing anyone for that. I work hard. I truly tear myself up to make a living, and I like things. For example, I like to eat in good restaurants. What's the problem with that? I don't understand this. What is the problem? I didn't steal from anyone. I didn't take from anyone. I worked hard. I have. Why shouldn't I enjoy my life? Aren't we living to enjoy? Well, and let's say that I have a father, and my father is the manager of a big empire of, I don't know, computers or construction, builds all over the world, billions, investments, and all that. And I like to eat in very fancy restaurants and to eat and to work in some small thing. My father wants me to come to a state in which I'll be able to replace him out of love. So what does he do? How will he obligate me to invest a little bit more in studying and learning and taking on more responsibility and each time make decisions better? Well, so what should we do? Look, in such a situation, it's a problem because it's like the child's not challenged. He was given everything on a silver platter and he doesn't develop. I understood the example. He doesn't learn. He doesn't develop. He doesn't build himself to be capable on his own to reach good things in life. Dr. Michael, so what to do? I just don't know if it's the proper example for this situation. Yes, the father wants his child to grow up, but the child's fine. He's saying, what's wrong? What's bad? I'm having fun. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I worked hard, and I have, thank God, I can fund the things that I want to enjoy. I don't understand this whole concept of, oh, you're doing too much, you're eating too much, you're buying too much. I don't care about what people say or not what people say. I care that there is a certain plan, a program above me of my father. And according to that program, I have to grow up. And I don't want to grow up that way. I work. I'm not stealing. I'm a good citizen. Yes. I enjoy life. I go to overseas with my family, with my children, Disneyland, and restaurants. What's bad? Exactly. That's my question. You took the words out of my mouth. But it turns out that it's not enough. It's not according to my mind that things work. I see that it doesn't manage the way according to my intellect. The scripture be completely different. That's why I'm coming with a question. What's happening here? What's happening here is that we have to recognize the different plan. What is the different plan? The plan is that in nature, we have a problem with this plan. There's an upper plan, a program that we need to grow with and to reach certain high degrees in the perception of our reality, in our behavior. And we don't want to recognize that. We don't even understand where we're going. This growth that you're talking about, this more advanced state, this more developed, wiser place, does a person not enjoy his life there? Yes, but now he doesn't understand that. No, I'm asking, what's the problem with the person liking to eat well and has money for going to good restaurants? What's the problem with that? It's not a problem. It's just that for the time being, he's not advancing according to a higher plan that was prepared for him. I understood, meaning while we're being busy with all the fun and enjoyment that we're doing, like going overseas, changing our houses and cars and restaurants and all that, that's good for us and fun. You say there's no problem with it, but while we're busy only in that, we're not advancing to some higher place? Truth. Okay, that higher place, that more advanced place, you're talking about the development of our consciousness, our understanding of life, emotionally and intellectually. In this more advanced place where a person will be more developed emotionally and intellectually, what will be his attitude to those pleasures of life? Whatever will be. It's not important. He's not harming anyone. He also says it this way today. But the problem is that he isn't adapted to the upper plan that is existent for him, that nature, as a judge, is now presenting him a new plan, a more advanced program, which he must really begin to implement, to realize. In this more advanced plan, what is the attitude of people to money, for example? Because when we think about money, it's like some people, they think of money as it's a derogatory thing. Money. Money is a means. What's money? I worked hard. I earned. Now I have what I can pay for, what I want. Everything's fine. In my eyes, it's the most beautiful and logical thing that I'm not a burden to anyone, and I don't take charity. And if I worked hard, I'm allowed to enjoy life. What is the attitude in the more advanced state to this whole thing called money? Rav, money is from the covering, the word covering, kisui, where a person can cover with money, meaning with his work, with his exertion, he can cover all the different things he needs. He exerts, he efforts with his mind, with his feeling, with his labor, and covers by that his needs. So there's nothing bad with that. On the contrary, it's not derogatory. On the contrary, it's he can be proud of it. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. The problem is not that. The problem is that we are running after the money, and only after the money, it becomes for us as a certain idol of God that we bow before and want only that. And we put it into the banks, into all kinds of stocks, into all kinds of investments, as long as more and more, as much as we can collect it. And there's no limit. And we come to states in which, in truth, we have no benefit out of it. And it's the main thing. It's not whether we have benefit or not. We can see that we're getting all kinds of blows. But the fact that we are in this chase after money and honor, we're in this seemingly according in a contradiction to the plan of nature. Why are we running after money this way? If we were to focus on money, why is it that we run after money this way? We're making God out of it. Why? Because by this you limit yourself in that framework. We're told that money is God. That's what they said. So you have made the money as the biggest thing, the most important thing. You made of it your God, since you bow before it. Is that our mistake? Because by that, you're done. You'll eat in all those restaurants, like you say, and you'll go out to have your pleasure in all those different places that you pay for. And you say, that's my life. By that, you're stealing, you're robbing from yourself and from your children, as that is not what the whole life is about. The plan of nature, which birthed you, is different. This plan is different. What is the plan of nature relative to me? To make God of you and not of the money. That's very beautiful, that sentence. What does that mean? That you will begin to develop in you qualities that are such that they are truly, you could say, godly qualities. So you will relate to the whole world as yours. And you can manage it in the direction of good, such that all the people of the world that are in you are as if in your kingdom, in your state, and you are the Lord. And you can bring them to the best possible state, since they are all together your citizens. What does that depend upon? It depends on your awareness of the plan of nature. And this is what nature wants exactly. And I'll be like a certain landlord that everyone lives with. The whole world is yours, Rav says. The whole world is mine. Meaning if I have enough money to host everyone and take care of everyone, Rav, in an unlimited way. Not just some restaurant and something. Some French restaurant or some fancy place that you like to go to. That's all. I have a question about the culture of consumerism. They used to say that, you know, there was a man used to be a hunter-gatherer, then he developed agriculture, then he developed, human society developed and replaced all kinds of, and adapted into different forms. And today we've come to the last 100 years where man, the Homo sapien, became the consumer, a person who lives from buying and enjoying that, and becomes, and that's where he gets his good. So if I to look at this action on any people, when you buy something, it makes you happy, it raises your mood. Say you're in a bad mood, you're not feeling so good, go to the mall, buy yourself a nice shirt, buy a gift for your spouse, bring them a gift. There's no one who doesn't like to get a gift. You gave something, you bought something, it raises your mood. Meaning, this culture of buying something and feeling satisfaction from that, gratification from that, is there something wrong with that? No, on the contrary. Why? Although one who loves gifts, one who hates gifts will live, it's written in the Torah. But leave that on the side. It's another person in another kind. Put that on the side. I'm thinking a person, if you're not in a good mood, go buy something, it'll make you feel good. Yes? So I see that it really works that way, let's say. Because our ego, our will to receive, enjoys us receiving gifts. In this gift, there's something that is a sign that I'm being respected, that I'm loved, a sign that I'm remembered. That's one thing. And the second thing could be that from this gift I can also enjoy, even though it's very difficult to imagine a gift from which you enjoy. It's usually such nonsensical things that, well, it's like in a gift store where there's nothing serious there. Wait, I want to look at a person himself. A person goes, buys something for himself, feels good with it. You bought something, it gives you a good feeling. How does that mechanism work where I bought something and I feel good? Why, when I buy something, I feel good in my mood? Well, maybe you will feel even better if you were to argue with the buyer and buy it at half price. For sure, I'll feel better. There's no doubt. That's our Israeli's profession. So why does it work that way, that haggling? Why does buying something make you have a good feeling? Why does it fill you? It fills your ego. What does it mean that it fills my ego? My desire for something to acquire, to buy, to receive, to bring it closer to me even, is a desire that is egotistical. And then when I fill it, I enjoy. But altogether, it operates for a short period of time. It operates for a short period of time. Why only for a short period of time? You took my next question from my own mouth. Because our ego is very interchangeable. It's like a counter on a taxi. The wheel is just turning there, and what I bought a moment ago, or even 10 minutes ago, I already, with every minute that passes, I'm already less satisfied by it. So you buy something else. In that case, we have to go to work and to toil and to labor. That's our whole life is that way. Work and buy, work and buy. You see something in this that is flawed? It's endless. There is no purpose that could possibly satisfy me. Where eventually I stop and I say, nice, enough. No, I can't. I can't, like, say, stop for a moment. That the world needs to stop. Why can't I stop and say, that's it? Because our ego is constantly growing. It's constantly growing, nonstop. It's constantly spinning. That counter is spinning inside. It's like this motor inside is just spinning and spinning. Therefore, I am constantly distancing the state that I had and feel that once again I'm empty. Could it be that the pace is increasing here? Meaning that that's for sure. Meaning that the time that shortens between acquisition to acquisition and pleasure to pleasure becomes smaller. Every next moment is half the previous moment. You understand? That if once I needed to go out once a year on vacation for a week, now I need to go out for a month in the summer and a month in the winter, and it's not enough. Why? Why is it built that way? You're really right. Why does it work that way? Our ego grows in order to bring us to a very exalted goal, for us to fill ourselves with a great force, with great fulfillment. And if we don't do that, we leave it empty, and it's nevertheless looking beyond that. And therefore, as it's written, one cannot die without half his passion or his desire still in his hands. So this story always goes to a place that is less and less pleasurable, meaning the chase will be greater, we will buy more and more and more, but the good feeling will be smaller and smaller, and then with shorter intervals of how to buy more and more, and it's like this loop will become shorter and shorter. Yes, you can see people in life. They go to consume drugs and all kinds of other things that can't fill themselves with normal pleasures, which they could before. Because our ego grows and demands more and more in shorter chapters. You said earlier a sentence that I wrote down and I want to go back to scrutinize. You said that this blow that comes to us, the corona, is because nature wants to make a person, not for the money to be his God, but for the person himself will become God. Yes? How is that connected to those that chase that we're doing where it's getting shorter and tak, 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 like you said, in order to reach the final despair, truly, the finite, fatal despair, where we will want to bury our ego and move to the different form of filling, a new one, which is not in order to receive from the whole world, but rather to give to the whole world. What does that mean? There is a psychological inversion here. It's like with my children. As much as I give them more, I enjoy more. Completely. It's the most precise there is. So it could be the same thing here for us. As much as I give to the whole world, to everyone, I enjoy more. But in an unstoppable way. Unlimited. Give me an example so I will understand. What is give to the whole world? I can't grasp that. With the children, I understood. From there, I lost you. When I give to my children, when I have money to buy something for the kids, it makes me feel the best. because you are built that way on the side, on behalf of nature. But towards other people, strangers, you're saying? Yes, you don't have it. On the contrary, they're strangers. What, I'm going to buy them something? That's why they're called strangers. Where the more you're better than them, you enjoy. Towards a child, you could be less than him. And you enjoy this. What do you mean less than him, than the child? Let's say you're playing with him with something. You don't need to succeed, to earn, to be proud that you won. No. You're happy when he wins. Look later, when you were filmed, what a face you have now when you see that. So that face you need to relate to others. As much as I enjoy, don't close that smile. No, it's a little less rejoicing. Oh, so here there needs to be, therefore, a method of correction so that we will feel that the whole world is much closer to me than my child. It's not closer to me than my child. Then I'm telling you, it really is closer. Imagine to yourself, try to imagine to yourself that you will receive in the mail some booklet from an incognito booklet, an anonymous that writes that all the people in the world are close to you, even closer than your child. And your child specifically, on the background of this, loses importance in your eyes. He loses it, that importance. I don't want my child to lose importance in my eyes. Wait. But you just received this notice. And it's clear to you from this that what you thought, that all the people in the world were truly enemies, haters, and so on. Now you see, no. They are the closest possible thing to me. I don't know how to say it, because there's nothing closer to children in this world of ours. But that's how I get the impression, that they are the closest to me. Everyone. All of them. And then I, all of a sudden, see in me such a tendency that I want to give to them, to care for them, and to constantly think about them, of all the people in the world. And you could say, how? Simply out of it being revealed so. To my desire, to my thought. Now it's being revealed that they are all so close that they don't even know about it. But I now see, and it's revealed to me, that there in some village in Vietnam, in Japan, in South America, there, every single one of them are close to me more than my own children. That's how it's revealed. It sounds scary. No, it's not scary. All of a sudden, I see that I am in 8 billion people that are close to me, that are dependent on me, and I'm dependent on them, and we are all as brothers, but true brothers, not brothers that, you know, that quarrel between them. And then it turns out that what happens here is a revolution. What revolution exactly? What emotionally, what do I start to feel? Oh, then you tell me. That's already on a human level, you can understand. If you receive such an impression from what is revealed to you, if there are many people that are close to me, like you said, look, my children love me. I also love them. And I think that that's something I don't have with others. There's love between us. natural. Yes, natural love, since they were born. And it grows. In truth, I see it just grows from year to year. I notice that it just grows. I love them more, and we have such relations between us that are the closest in the world. I understand. And here, what's being revealed to you is that even all those people in the world are even closer. And your children there are standing on the side, like if you even are reminded by them. I didn't understand. What's the problem with my children? Because I don't want them to be on the side. But according to your emotion, your feeling, you lost a little bit of importance towards them relative to the importance to all the other people in the world. With your children, you understand that you have a connection, a bodily connection? A natural, you mean? Yeah, natural. And with all the people in the world, you have a spiritual connection. As all the people in the world are the parts of your soul, your eternal soul. And your children, not they're all together connected to you in a natural way, from birth. I understood. Okay, I want us to close this circle. Look how beautiful. We start to talk about money and what's wrong with money. And you said there's nothing wrong with money. But the fact that a person is constantly chasing endlessly to buy, to work, to buy, to work, and it constantly gets shorter because you're less satisfied, that caused us making money into God. And now what comes is this corona to advance us to a state in which a person himself will become God. How is it connected to the fact that all of a sudden he has love for all the people to the world? He feels that they are part of his soul, that if he collects them together in the connection with them, he receives the feeling that he is spread out throughout all of nature, all over the world, and it's all for him. Does that sensation fills a person here inside in his mood and the feeling of his satisfaction more than shopping? There's no greater feeling, better ruling, eternal feeling than that feeling that you discover all the people in the world as the parts of your soul, and the force, the general force that dwells between you, you feel it as the upper force. In such a state, last question, because our time is up. In such a state, what's the relationship of a person towards money? The relationship of a person towards money, if it's needed, then he uses it. If he doesn't, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to overcome something here. He doesn't need to use it in order to be proud or with others or something. If he can give it out to others, he does. He himself doesn't need anything, just for it to be good for everyone else. That's the essence of the change that is changed inside of him, in his head, that it'll be good for everyone. Yes, that's not enough. Seems like a very big thing. Yes. Is that where Corona wants to lead us, to that change? For me to have it, make it so it'll be good for everyone? Yes. And if we do that, we will come to a state in which we will feel all of reality in such a way that we will feel ourselves in eternal existence, in perfection, in an endless perception. Meaning the transition is from chasing after money so that I will have it good, to a state in which a person already sees much broader, that it will be good for everyone. Yes. Rav Leitman, but everyone is also me. It's mine. Because all of a sudden I discover that they're mine, like you said before, that they're close to me. Yes, yes. Rav Leitman, thank you very, very much to you. Thank you too for being with us. New life, we're learning to live good. Come back again. All the best to you.